Good morning, everyone. Good morning. Welcome. It's been really delightful seeing you come in this morning with the animals that we have around us. We are doing a pet blessing today, so welcome. None of us have any idea how this will go. It's truly a wild card. But I think it's going to be a lot of fun. Welcome to those of you who are online. You get a bird's eye view of the animals milling around us today. My name is Kristen, for those I haven't met. I'm the Minister for Worship and Spiritual Care here at Rosedale United Church. And joining with me in leadership is our Director of Music, Dr. Sarah Svensson, our organ scholar, Oscar Hodgson. Our choir is among you. Celine is on our live stream. Ben is on our sound. And we're just so glad that you are here to be here and to form this community today. We are a congregation committed to supporting flourishing here in our neighborhood and our city, and we gather each week to learn, to grow, and to serve. So some announcements for today. Coffee time will be outside. You might have seen the table. We feel that by the end of the service, our pets will be stressed. Let's get them right out. And so that's where you'll find our coffee tea, is just right outside the front doors. After church today, there's a lot going on. We are making sandwiches for the Out of the Cold program at St. Luke's. So that's right after the service downstairs in Cop Hall. We're also making chili ahead of a lunch, a community lunch that we're holding next week. We're looking for just a couple volunteers to help with prepping that, if you would like to volunteer. And that is also an announcement that, yeah, we're having a big community lunch next Sunday right after church. We're also hosting St. Luke's United. So these are the folks who we prepare all the sandwiches for when we do that sandwich prep for the Out of the Cold. All of those folks from St. Luke's will be joining us next week. So we really hope you can come. And if you're looking for other ways that you can help with this lunch, I'm looking for folks to donate cornbread to go alongside our chili. Also, some nice big mixed green salads would be awesome. We've got dessert covered. So I think that's it. You can speak to me afterwards if you can help with either of those side dishes. I'm going to call on Sarah for Halloween.
Good morning. Okay, so many of you know organists love Halloween because we get to play all of our scary music. And so I will be doing that on October 31st proper, and we need your help. And the most helpful thing right now, well, there's two things, and maybe you want to do both. But the first is we need at least 600 bags of Halloween chips.
Yeah.
Please. And we need them by next Sunday. So if you are at the grocery store this week and you see they're all on sale and you see a box of Halloween chips, could you just throw it in there and bring it to church next Sunday? That'd be such a huge help. Thank you. The next thing is we need volunteers to help decorate. We're decorating on Tuesday. We will have decorations outside and inside. And we need volunteers for the actual event, which means you get to dress up in costume and hand out candy and host this very fun mini organ concert trick-or-treating event. Last year, we had over 400 adult and children plus dogs. So it's a pet-friendly environment. And then we also need help clearing up afterwards. I am offering volunteer hours, so if you know a teenager who's looking, this is a really fun event. Thank you.
Okay, and if you're feeling like maybe your edges are frayed, you could use a brief moment for rest, for courage, for renewal. I'm hosting another mini retreat this coming Wednesday morning. It's from 9:30 to 11:30. It's just drop-in, and you're most invited to attend. We're proud to be an affirming congregation. We celebrate people of all backgrounds, sexualities, and gender identities as gifts of the Creator. Our flowers this morning are a tribute to Joe Aitken, who for many years brought vibrancy to this congregation. And Joe passed away on October 10th. So our hearts are with the Aitken family. We worship this Sunday with all the creatures we love who are among us. Our service will be more interactive than normal today. At a couple of points in the service, you'll be invited to join with the folks who are sitting around you to respond to some very simple and inviting questions about the pet that you've brought with you or a pet that you have known. And I'll also share a brief reflection, and we'll close with a blessing of all of the pets who are among us. For now, I invite us to stand in body or in spirit, and let's join together in our call to worship. As sunlight dazzles on lakes and sunsets blaze through the sky, let the brilliance of our Creator God's love guide us to see God's way for us. With the cry of a loon rising up into the dusk, or the shouts of children playing in a field, let the melody of God's love sung through Jesus help us to receive God's word for us. Like granite running jagged through the hills, or creeks flowing from source to sea, let the presence of God's Spirit ground us, so we may know God's strength within us. And we sing, all creatures of our God and King. We're singing verses 1, 2, and 5.
Thank you.
How awesome was it to hear the dogs joining in? That was amazing. Friends, the peace of Christ be with you. And I invite you to turn to those around you and extend the peace of Christ. Please be seated. I light this Christ candle. Friends, please be seated. We've lit our Christ candle, which is always a symbol of the warmth and the presence of Christ here with us. And we know that wherever the spirit of friendship and openness and unity is, there Christ is also. I invite us into a moment of silence. Our animals may or may not abide, that's fine. But just a moment to transition from the week that we have into this new week ahead. Take a breath, ground yourself, you're here, you're now, and we open our hearts to prayer. Creator God, you have made a beautiful world filled with wonder and surprises. You have brought into being that which we could not imagine for ourselves, life we cannot see without the aid of microscopes, animals we can see only in pictures from remote regions of this planet Earth. We thank you for abundant life, for the birds we hear in the morning, for the drone of bees when we are outside, for the vast tapestry of life which is interwoven. We thank you for the gift of our animal companions and for the unconditional love and forgiveness which teaches us about you, for the benefits they are to our health and to our spirit. And yet we know that we have not always been faithful caretakers of our animals. Forgive us when we have dirtied their environment, erased places of shelter, polluted their waters, killed off their food supplies. May our hearts be moved today to commit again to being a blessing to your creation, to acknowledge that your love beats in all hearts and that you give breath and life to all that are living. We pray all of this in Jesus' name, who taught us to say together, O loving parent who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever and ever. Amen.
A reading from the book of Genesis, chapter 1, verses 24 to 27 and 31. And God said, "Let the earth bring forth living creatures of every kind, cattle and creeping things and wild animals of the earth of every kind." And it was so. God made the wild animals of the earth of every kind, and the cattle of every kind, and everything that creeps upon the ground of every kind. And God saw that it was good. Then God said, "Let us make humans in our image, according to our likeness, and let them have dominion over the fish of the sea, and over the birds of the air, and over the cattle, and over all the wild animals of the earth, and over every creeping thing that creeps upon the earth." So God created humans in his image. In the image of God, he created them. Male and female, he created them. God saw everything that he had made, and indeed it was very good. And there was evening, and there was morning, the sixth day.
Thank you, Carolina. So for our first moment of sharing, I want to invite you to turn to some folks who are sitting around you. If you are by yourself, then maybe just scooch in and gather with folks in the balcony. Maybe you can chat with each other. Our first question is, how does your pet or a pet you have known teach you about goodness? What does your pet teach you about goodness? We'll take just a couple minutes to hear from those who are around you, and then I'll call us back and I'll have the microphone, and maybe there might be one or two of you who might want to share more broadly. Okay? All right. So perhaps there are one or two people who may want to share. I'll call us back. How do your pets teach you about goodness? What do your pets teach you about goodness? Maybe by show of hand, there might be one or two of you who might want to say some of what you talked about out loud to the group. How do your pets teach you about goodness? I know for me, we don't have a cat anymore, we did, and it was her vibe of acceptance, just accepting us fully for who we were. What about others? How does your pet teach you about goodness? Okay. We'll go here, and then we'll go there.
Okay. We have a cat called Snooky. I never thought I would be a cat person, mm-hmm. but Snooky is Octavia's cat for sure, no question. Mm-hmm. When Octavia goes to school...
Hold it right here, Penny.
When Octavia goes to school, he puts a toy mouse in his mouth, mm-hmm. and he howls. He just howls. Oh. So that's true love. Mm-hmm.
Thank you, Penny. Let's go over to Nick.
So I live with three young, very frazzled, anxious individuals, not exempting myself of that, but we have this adorable little sheep-looking cat that no matter what they're going through throughout the week, especially this really stressful time of year for us, there's no phone in sight, there's no distractions of any kind when they're enveloped in this cat. I've noticed it forces them to just be present and genuinely full of joy, even if they immediately go back to whatever they go back to. They're forced to be present for a moment with this little critter.
Thank you, Nick. Friends, we're going to sing, and it's not listed in the bulletin, but it's Voices United 229. Voices United 229. God of the Sparrow, 229. And we're going to sing verses 1, 2, and 3. And you can leave your hymn book open because we're going to come back to the last verses of that song hymn later. Let's stand in body or spirit and sing together. God of the Sparrow, 229.
The sentiment of that hymn was what I was thinking as well, about having a dog. Our second reading is from Psalms 104, and it is a responsive reading. Please join me in the words printed in your bulletin. By the streams, the birds of the air have their habitation. They sing among the branches. From your lofty abode, you water the mountains. the earth is satisfied with the fruit of your work. You cause the grass to grow for the cattle and plants for people to cultivate, to bring forth food from the earth and wine to gladden the human heart, oil to make the face shine and bread to strengthen the human heart. The trees of the field are watered abundantly. In them, the birds build their nests. The stork has its home in the fir trees. The high mountains are for the wild goats. The rocks are a refuge for the conies. You have made the moon to mark the seasons. The sun knows its time for setting. You make darkness, and it is night, when all the animals of the forest come creeping out. The young lions roar for their prey, seeking their food from God. When the sun rises, they withdraw and lie down in their dens. People go out to their work and to their labor until the evening. O Lord, how manifold are your works! In wisdom, you have made them all. The earth is full of your creatures. This is the witness of the Hebrew Scriptures. In these ancient words, may we find wisdom for living today.
So I know we are blessing our pets today, but I think everyone here also knows the real truth that it is our pets who bless us, who teach us about empathy and compassion, who connect us to our neighborhood, who comfort our broken hearts and are a solace on bad days, who teach us about forgiveness and loyalty, and who get us to think about the cycles of life and ethical complexities, these animals who help us to abide life's moments. They are as constant to us as our own breath. I didn't grow up in a house with pets. My parents thought pets were too complicated, and they are complicated. So it took me a long time to wrap my head around how I'd ever go about integrating a pet into my own home life, but after years of pressure, I finally relented, and we got a little black and white cat named Ripley, who was a part of our family for about 10 years. And what struck me most about our little cat was how much she communicated, wordless as she was. Ripley was an indoor-outdoor cat and discovered that jumping onto the ledge of our front window would alert us to her presence and her desire to come inside. And like all cats, she was an expert in soft diplomacy, brushing against our legs and purring to let us know when she was hungry. She was mostly a creature of her own whims. Sometimes she'd sleep at the foot of my bed. Sometimes I'd find her curled up in the shelf where we store our linens. But she also had a knack for knowing when she was needed, of curling up with the child who'd had a rough day. Like Mary Poppins, she delivered just the right medicine at just the right time. And our hearts still ache for her. Of course, the deeper point of today isn't just blessing our pets and becoming conscious again of how they bless us, but to take an opportunity to commit again, each of us, to actively being a blessing to animals and birds and insects, to commit again to being a blessing as humans to creation and not a curse. I wonder if your ear caught it, that complicated word in the first reading from the book of Genesis. In Christianity's mythological and spiritual understanding of what it means to be created human, we are to have dominion over the animals and the created world. And I admit that I don't really like that word, dominion. I mean, that's not how I want to be as a human when it comes to how I relate to animals and to nature. I don't want to be dominating. The whole idea makes me uncomfortable. And so I thought I'd see if another translation of the Bible stated our role differently. I looked at the New International Version and the King James Version and the Common English Bible. I looked up the verse in the original Hebrew and then in the Orthodox Jewish Bible. I was hoping to find another word other than dominion to describe humanity's relationship to the created order in Christian and Jewish understanding. But I didn't find an alternate translation. I don't like the word dominion because I believe that the way in which Western Christians have interpreted that word to be the cause of many of the persistent problems that plague us today. God said, "Let us make humans in our image, according to our likeness, and let them have dominion over the fish of the sea and over the birds of the air and over cattle and over all the wild animals of the earth and over every creeping thing that creeps on the earth." And Western Christians have read that verse over the centuries and have taken dominion to mean dominance, over, control over, a sense of superiority over the created order, and as license to do with creation as they wish, to hunt to the last bison, to cull the last rainforest, to fish the last cod, to dump everything dirty into fresh water, to plant flags and claim soil as a personal possession. Dominion is a word we want to interpret carefully if we want to practice good religion. We want to frame it with the words that came just before it, to remember that it's humans made in the image of God who are to exercise dominion. And we know God to be a loving force, creative, life-giving, caring, a steward, an artist, a passionate lover, completely devoted to creation, protecting its balance, its carefully calibrated order, just as we heard in our psalm, "You water the mountains and the earth is satisfied with the fruit of your work. You cause the grass to grow." I think a more biblically correct interpretation of the word dominion is responsibility. God said, "Let us make humans in our image and let them have responsibility." The season of creation, which we've been following this autumn creation tide, as it's called in the Catholic Church, closes with the feast day of St. Francis in October. And St. Francis is the patron saint of animals, hence our animal blessing. And he was a medieval monk, and he absolutely interpreted that word dominion as responsibility. He looked at nature as a reflection of God, and he treated animals as though they were part of his family. There's a myth that's told about St. Francis that he actually befriended a wolf who was terrorizing an Italian village. He recognized that humans had upset the balance. They had forgotten their sense of sacred dominion over the created world and had encroached on the wolf's territory. And of course, the wolf was running out of natural food sources because of this. So St. Francis brought the wolf into the village and reminded villagers that the wolf needed to be fed just as much as they did. He wrote the first poem in the Italian vernacular, and it's called The Canticle of the Sun. And in it, he calls the sun and the wind and fire his brothers, and the moon and water and earth his sisters. His embrace of responsibility sounds a lot like the ethos of indigenous peoples in North America on what they call Turtle Island, who have a concept called the honorable harvest, where sacred dominion over plants and animals looks like responsibility and stewardship. It begins with knowing the ways of these ones who take care of us, the plants and the animals, so that we can take care of them. And so before I offer a blessing to our pets, I offer this blessing and challenge to us today. May our relationship with our pets fire up our courage to exercise our sacred responsibility as humans, our sacred sense of dominion, our care of creation. May we be empowered and encouraged to wonder and to change. May our relationship with these animals influence our politics, whatever political party we affiliate with, so that we may hold our leaders to account. And may we know the deep soul satisfaction that comes from living as we were created in the likeness of God, that we may take our sacred calling to exercise dominion most seriously. Amen. We stand in response and sing the second part of our hymn, God of the Sparrow. We're singing verses 4, 5, and 6.
Our next reading is a reading from the Gospel of Matthew, chapter 6, verses 25 to 26. Therefore, I tell you, do not worry about your life, what you will eat or what you will drink, or about your body, what you will wear. Is not life more than food and the body more than clothing? Look at the birds of the air. They neither sow nor reap nor gather into barns, and yet your heavenly Father feeds them. Are you not of more value than they? This is the witness of the early church. May these words comfort us, challenge us, and inspire us.
And so an invitation again to turn to those who are around you for a brief time of sharing, just to talk about what has your pet taught you about trust? What has your pet or a pet you have known taught you about trust? So I invite you to converse, and I'll call us back in a couple of minutes for responses. Okay, I'm going to call us back. So welcome back, folks, and maybe there, again, is one or two folks who want to talk about what their pet has taught them about trust. We'll go to Elizabeth.
Tundra is so...
And hold it right up, Elizabeth, yeah.
Tundra is so positive and so trusting, and every time we go out the door, he doesn't know if we're going to go on a walk and have an exciting visit with Bill or whether I'm going to go take him kayaking for hours in Back Bays. But he always trusts that it's going to be a great experience. And Bill made a very good point. He said, but it's a mutual trust. And when I'm way back and beyond all by myself for hours, I'm never alone because I have Tundra and I trust him with my safety too.
Fantastic. Thank you, Elizabeth. Is there one more who would like to share? Okay. So we are with Lori.
Years ago, my cat used to wake me up in the middle of the night all the time, jumping on my chest, and it drove me crazy, and I didn't know why, because I was wake up, and he didn't want anything, he didn't want any food, he didn't want anything. As soon as I was awake, he would snuggle back down, and I was like, what is this about? And I went to my doctor, some of you have heard this, went to my doctor, and I told him, I'm not getting any sleep, the cat is waking me up all night long. So he said, I'm going to send you to a clinic for sleep apnea. He's like, I think your cat is waking you up when you stop breathing. So I trust my cat with my life. He was right. I now have a machine, and both of us can sleep. So, yes, I would trust my cat knowing whenever I stopped breathing, he woke me up.
That's amazing, Lori. Thank you. We invite our choir with our anthem, All Things Bright and Beautiful. friends, in this moment, two invitations are open to you. If you have a pet with you that you would like to receive a blessing, then just I'll be standing right here, and you're welcome to bring your pet up to the front, and we will bless your pet. You're equally invited in this moment to light a candle at any station on the side or up here at the front in memory of a pet who was dear to you who has died, or perhaps lighting a candle as a prayer of intention that you want to set a prayer for animals and insects and birds all over the planet. So those two invitations are open to you, and I'll invite our first pets forward. And again, if you'd like to light a candle, you can just go ahead and do that. Okay. Friends, I invite us to join together in our closing prayer of community. It is responsive. Let us give thanks to God for the gifts so freely bestowed upon us, for the beauty and wonder of your creation in earth and sky and sea. We give thanks for the richness of mountains, plains, and rivers. We give thanks for all that is gracious in the lives of your children. We are conscientious for all creatures that breathe and move and have life. We pray to be careful and thoughtful for the songs of birds and the loveliness of flowers and trees. We give thanks for the trust you have shown in giving our pets into our care. We are grateful that each pet here may be treasured with care. We pray to you, Lord, that we may love and honor all your works, O God. We pray to you, Lord. May we continue to grow in our grateful enjoyment of your abundant creation. Amen. And our closing hymn is "This Is God's Wondrous World." We invite you to stand in body or spirit. Friends, we go out with joy. We go out reminded of love and trust and their power in our lives. We go out with these words of blessing to show by touch and word. Will you join together?